Good morning. Jesus was the world's greatest teacher. He is the world's greatest teacher. You know, he said some very strange and unusual things, and he did some strange and unusual things. Some of his teaching was so spectacular because he could take the smallest stuff and he could build it into a story. You know, we call those things, and the Bible does, parables. Now, a parable is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. We don't know exactly how many parables there are that Jesus taught, because it depends on how you define the word parable. But the one we're going to look at this morning is in Matthew chapter 10. If you want to turn there, it's about the story of the It's the story of the 10 bridesmaids. You know, it's the story of everyday life. We understand this story just a little bit better when we know a little bit about the customs of the East. You know, a wedding like this could happen just about any time and just about any day. If it was a very important or a very wealthy person who got married, then their weddings, of course, very different from ours. They would march through the village together, the man and the wife that he was going to marry. They would go past as many homes and as many businesses as they could so they could get as many well wishes as they could until finally they got to the home that they would share together. And then they, you know, unlike people throwing a party for them, then they kind of threw open the doors and they had sort of what we might call today an open house. You know, they allowed people to come in and they would have a good time. And especially if it was a very well-to-do couple, the feast or the celebration could last upwards of an entire week. And so now we understand a little bit more about the wedding ceremonies back yonder. We understand a little bit more about what those five foolish bridesmaids missed out on. This story isn't made up. It's true to life. It was common and ordinary, and it was told about people who were just as down to earth as you and me, two people who were just as down to earth as you and me. And back then it was kind of addressed to people who'd been looking for the Messiah, but they hadn't seen Him in Jesus. Today, you know, we're going to look at this story, this parable, and we're going to see that there are a lot of people today that aren't prepared, not for Jesus' initial coming, but for His second coming. And the question is, will we be ready? We're going to look at this lesson in three parts. And the first lesson I hope we understand is that it teaches us the importance of being prepared. Verse 13 reads, "Watch therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Now, how are we supposed to watch? It says here that we're supposed to watch. Well, do we just stand and do we watch? A situation like that happened in Acts chapter 1. Right at the very beginning of that book, right at the beginning of that chapter, the apostles had gone out. Jesus ascended into heaven. And they did, I think, exactly as I would have done. If I was standing there on that hill on that day and I had watched a man ascend into heaven in the cloud, then I'd probably stand there with my jaw open to my knees just to gaze in away. But there was an angel that came along and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven?" You know, that's not what we're supposed to do. Jesus is coming back. Do we just stand around and wait? No, we have jobs to do. We have school to go to. We have responsibility to our families, to our parents, to our children, and whatever. So that's not what we're supposed to do. To watch the way that Jesus says here in this passage means that we've got to pay attention and we've got to keep our mind on the future. We've got to be cautious, realizing that it could be at any time that Jesus decides to return. You know, those foolish bridesmaids, they didn't have any thought for the future. They were just living in the here and now. They had no thought that a bridegroom might come back late or that he might come early. They only had X amount of oil for their lamps. And so when they ran off, when they ran out, they went off and they got more oil. When they came back, the bridegroom had already been there. He had gone into the celebration. He had shut the door and they were too late. You know, we're supposed to be prepared in our lives. I want to tell you something that I learned from my own life. It is too late to get up on the morning of the final exam and study for it at 5 o'clock if you hadn't been paying attention the whole semester or even the whole school year. You know, it's too late to start building up your character or your morality if you've wasted your life. You know, if you're going to take a vacation at a popular place, you've got to start calling 6 months, even a year ahead of time, if you're going to make sure that you've got a motel room and that you've got tickets, especially if you want to get a cheap rate, maybe on an airline. You know, you got to practice, you got to work, you got to exercise to take care of your body if you want your body to live longer than maybe not. And if your body doesn't live or doesn't hold up very well, you've got to make sure that you have health insurance so that you can have someone to pay the bills because you didn't do the exercising that you should have. Now, if we know the importance of doing all these things, how much more important is it to be prepared for the more important things in life? You know, on the day that Jesus comes back, it'll be too late to make any preparations. It'll all be said and done by that time. You know, there was a man who came to earth. He was a great teacher, and you'll know who he is in just a second. He invited a man to be a part of his group of people. And this man came in. He not only became a part of the group, but he became a part of the inner circle of that group. You know, obviously he was a good man. He'd been doing all the right things. He was given the control of the treasury of this group. But as time went by, he fell prey to a little bit of sin and there were little problems with the checkbook and thus and so forth. You know, and eventually this man, and his name was Judas, ended up selling his Lord and Master for 20 pieces of silver. You know, it says in the Bible that Judas went in the door that he opened that he might go to the place prepared for him. And we'll go through the door that's prepared for us, that we have prepared in the Old Testament. There's another man that I want to call to your attention. His name was Daniel. Daniel was dragged away, captured, dragged into exile. You know, he could have lived a prince's lifestyle, but it says there that he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. Okay? Now, once he got to be an old man, there was a law that was passed. You're not allowed to worship anybody but the king. And yet, because he had prepared himself when he was a young man, he was found worthy at the end times, and the Lord took care of him. You know, nobody knows what each day is going to bring. Opportunity will come upon us, and we have to take advantage of it. You know, Jesus is going to come back one of these days and you'll go through the door that you've prepared for yourself. Will you be found wanting or will you be welcomed home? So the story teaches the necessity of being prepared. What else do we learn from it? That we can't borrow what must be bought. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." The wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you." Now, when we first read that passage, we think, you know, that wasn't very nice. Those girls probably could have spared some of their oil. But then you think about it, Jesus is teaching a story here, something that we need to take to heart. Let me give you another illustration. Okay, you've got a person who never gave a second thought to God, and some sort of devastating calamity came on that individual or their family. Within a few days, almost the same devastating calamity came upon someone who'd been faithful all their life. Now, can that first individual borrow from the faith of that second individual? Absolutely not. Faith is built on the altar of sacrifice. Jesus was trying to say, if we'll listen, that we can't gain anything at the last minute. I've already told you. And I remember doing it when I was in high school. Set the alarm clock, 5 o'clock in the morning to study for that test. I should have studied for 2 or 3 days before. And getting up and looking at that clock and thinking what an idiot I was. And turn off a clock and go back to sleep. You know, it's too late to study for that test when it's the morning of the test. You know, it's too late for a person to develop a character or a skill if he's wasted his life. It's the same between God and us. It's so important for all of us to have a close personal relationship with God. But if we wait too late, then it's simply too late. Paul wrote, "So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God," Romans 14:12. And in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad." Too many people think that they can borrow the religion of someone else when the time comes. Too many people think that they can make up some sort of an excuse, but by then it'll be too late. So this parable teaches us that we can't borrow what must be bought. But finally, it teaches we can't recall lost opportunities. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open the door to us.'" Now, those other 5 girls were out buying oil for their lamps. And when they came back after buying the oil, they found the bridegroom had showed up. He'd gone into the celebration. He'd shut the door, and they couldn't get in. Every day brings opportunities that we can't neglect. You know, a substitute teacher goes in and subs for a teacher maybe for 2 or 3 days that's been sick and does such a good job that she's given an opportunity to teach full time the next year. Let me give you an illustration you probably heard of. Does the name Drew Bledsoe mean anything to you? He was a quarterback for the New England Patriots. And about 15, maybe 20 years ago, he was an excellent quarterback, one of the best and highest paid in the NFL. He got hurt the second game of the year. A first-year quarterback came in and took his place. When Bledsoe came off the injured reserve at the end of the year and got ready to play in the playoffs, the coach said no. He said, "I'm going to go with the young man that got us here. I'm going to dance with the girl that brung me," so to speak. And that young man, Tom Brady's, won 5 Super Bowls. And let me take another illustration, but this one's a whole lot older. You're going to have to reach way back in the recesses. Does the name Wally Pipp ring a bell? He was a first baseman for the New York Yankees, and he got hurt early in the year, and a man stepped in and took over the first baseman's job, a man who's now in the Hall of Fame. He played 2,137 straight games for the Yankees at first base. His name was Lou Gehrig. If this is true with the ordinary things of life, shouldn't it be all the more true in the spiritual things of life? I heard the story of an old Scotsman who died many years ago. He was lying on his deathbed and somebody asked, "Well, do you want us to read the Bible to you?" And he said, "No." He said, "I thatched my roof when it was dry." In other words, he'd been reading the Bible all his life. You know, we don't have to go very far for opportunities. There's always an open door of opportunity for good. There's so many things we can do with our lives if we're willing to get up and do them. Or one of these days we'll be shut out of that door with a selfish heart. You know, the shame of this parable is that when those girls come back and weren't allowed to go into that wedding feast, the door was shut. But with us, the door will be shut forever. We need to remember that we're always offered the invitation. You know, we can come whenever we want to, but the longer that we wait, we let those opportunities slip through our fingers, opportunities that we might never get back. Centuries later, 2,000 years after Jesus uttered the words of this parable, people are still asking the question, when's Jesus coming back? But that's the wrong question. The right question is, am I ready? Yeah. It's not when, but what about me? Sin is real. It doesn't matter if you believe it is or not. It's out there. It's going to get you unless you ally yourself with the right party, which is Jesus, and with God. And unless you answer that right question, am I ready in the right way, by being a part of God's family, then you're going to come up wanting on that last day. If you need to come and maybe repent of some sin in your life because you've been away from God, you need to come back. Or maybe it is that you've never put on Jesus in the waters of baptism. And you need to come and repent of the sin in your life and be immersed, be baptized, so that you can be a part of the family of God, the body of Christ. Whether here at Smyrna or somewhere else, you have that opportunity. Are you ready? Won't you come while we stand and sing?